Neil, this is Houston radio check, over.
Hi, Roger. Houston, loud and clear.
Roger out.
Loud and clear, Houston.
Roger, Buzz. Field of view now.
You do have to be. All right, you do have to be rather careful to keep track of where your center of mass is. Sometimes it takes about two or three paces to make sure that you've got your feet underneath you.
Tranquility Base, this is Houston. Could we get both of you on the camera for a minute, please?
Say again, Houston.
Roger, we'd like to get both of you in the field of view of the camera for a minute. Neil and Buzz, the President of the United States is in his office now and would like to say a few words to you, over. Go ahead, Mr. President. This is Houston out.
Hello, Neil and Buzz. I'm talking to you by telephone from the Oval Room at the White House. And this certainly has to be the most historic telephone call ever made. I just can't tell you how proud we all are of what you... For every American, this has to be the proudest day of our lives. And for people all over the world, I am sure they too join with America in recognizing what an immense feat this is. Because of what you have done, the heavens have become a part of man's world. And as you talk to us from the Sea of Tranquility, it inspires us to redouble our efforts to bring peace and tranquility to Earth. For one priceless moment, in the whole history of man, all the people on this earth are truly one. One in their pride in what you have done, and one in our prayers that you will return safely to earth.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's a great honor and privilege for us to be here representing not only the United States, but man of peace of all nations, and with interest and a curiosity, and with a vision for the future. Honor for us to be able to participate here today.
And thank you very much, and I look forward, all of us look forward to seeing you on the Hornet on Thursday.
Look forward to that very much, sir.
Columbia, Columbia, this is Houston, over.
Loud and clear, Houston.
Roger, I've got a P-22 auto optics. Auto optics pad for you.
Roger, go ahead.
Roger, P-22, landmark ID, LEM. T1-110-2656. T2-110-3206, 3 miles south. Time of closest approach, 110-3340. Shaft, 353.855. Trunnion, 46.495. Roll 0, pitch 250, yaw 0, over.
Roger, thank you. Read back now required.
Roger, out.
Houston, it's very interesting to note that when I kick my foot, with no atmosphere here in this cavity. They seem to leave, and most of them have about the same angle of departure and velocity. Where I stand, the large portion of them will impact at a certain distance out. There are several percentage, of course, that will impact different regions out, but it's highly dependent upon initial trajectory upwards. Determine where most of the priority of the particle up down, like the terrain.
Roger, Buzz, and break, Columbia, this is Houston. When you track out of high gain antenna limits, request Omni-Delta. Omni-Delta, over.
Come in.
I've noticed several times in going from the sunlight into shadow that just as I go in, I catch an additional reflection off the lamp. Along with the reflection off my face onto the visor, makes visibility very poor just at the transition sunlight into the shadow. I essentially have so much glare coming onto my visor, I'm under shadow, helmet actually gets shadow, and then it takes a short while for my eyes to adapt to the lighting conditions inside the shadow area. Visibility, as we've said before, is not too great, but both visors up.
Well, we can certainly get what sort of footprints we have and the minimal condition of the soil.
And after being out in the sunlight a mile, it takes, watch it, Neil, you're on the cable.
Okay.
Yeah, lift up your right foot. It's still, your toe is still hooked in it.
That one?
Yeah, it's still hooked in it. Damn it. Okay, you're clear now.
Thank you.
Now let's move that over this way.
Neil Armstrong has the scoop for the bulk sample collection.
This is Houston. You're cutting out on the end of your transmission. Can you speak a little more closely into your microphone? Over.
Roger, I'll try that.
Beautiful.
Well, I had that one inside my mouth that time.
Sounded a little wet.
A little wet.
Neil's been on the surface an hour now. Buzz, not quite 20 minutes less than that.
In general, time spent in the shadow doesn't seem to have any thermal effects. Maybe we're still inside the suit. There is a difference, of course, in the coming radiation in the helmet, so I think there's a tendency to feel a little cooler in the shadow than we feel out in the sun.
Columbia, this is Houston, over.
One hour and a half expended on the PLSSs now.
Columbia, this is Houston, over. Columbia, this is Houston, over.
Houston, copy on Delta.
Well, Roger, you should have VHF ALS with the LEM right about now. VHF LOS will be at 40 minutes, 15 seconds, over.
Thank you.
heart rates on both crewmen averaging between 90 and 100. Flight surgeon reports they're right on the predicted number of the BTU units expended in energy of work. And he thinks they're in great shape.
I look around the area, the contrast in general is comes about completely by virtue of the shadows. Almost deep. Looking down sun, real phase, very light colored gray, light gray colored, like a halo. Around my own shadow, around the shadow of my helmet. Then as I look off cross sun, the contrast becomes strongest in that the surrounding color is still fairly light. As you look down into the sun, which a larger amount of that out area is looking toward us. The general color of the surrounding is darker than cross sun. Contrast is not as great. Surveying the all the dusty area that we've kicked up, considerably darker in texture now. As kicked up once. Imagine that this has been now by certain impacts of recent. That's what it's surveyor. The same is true by survey cross sun along the area that we've been walking. General, in addition to the fact that there are footprints there, general terrain where I've been up out of this surface trail is generally of a darker contrast surrounding color.
You can see Neil Armstrong bringing the scoop.
I'll be taking about 30 to 40 feet out to plus. But
say again, which strut, please, Buzz?
Or so it seems.
Say again, which strut? Which?
The plus V strut.
Roger.
And, right in this area, there are two craters. The one that's right in front of me now, as I look off in about the 11 o'clock position from spacecraft, about 30 to 35 feet across, and several rocks and boulders, 6-8 inches across, varying sizes.
Neil is filling the bulk sample bag attached to a scale. You can see him in the picture. Buzz is behind the limb at the minus Z strut. That's the landing gear directly opposite the ladder. Beetle's been on the surface about an hour and 10 minutes now. Buzz is making his way around the limb, photographing it from various angles, looking at its condition on all sides. Neil still occupied with the bulk sample. Minutes time expended on the PLSSs now.
How's the bulk sample coming, Neil?
Bulk sample is just being sealed.
Columbia, this is Houston. Go ahead, over.
Roger, no marks on the limb that time. I did see a suspiciously small white object with bullet and burn.
Go ahead with the coordinates on the small white object. Roger, copy Echo Decimal 3 and 7 Decimal 6. And Columbia, this is Houston, while I'm talking to you, LOS will be at 111-19-31, AOS 112-05-43, over. Columbia, this is Houston. Did you copy LOS? AOS times, over.
Copy. Negative, Houston, you're broken. Disregard, I might come off the pipeline.
Roger, out.
Deflector that's mounted on quad one seems to be a good bit more wrinkled. Right now on quad four.
You're breaking up again, Buzz.
Breaking up again, Buzz.
I say the jet deflector that's mounted on quad four seems to be, the surface of it seems to be more wrinkled. One that's on quad one. Generally, underneath part of the lamp seems to have stood up quite well to the. Look at some pictures in the aft part of the lamp. The sun illuminate the thermal effects much better than we could get them up here in the front.
Roger out.
Want to get some particular photographs of the bulk sample area, Neil?
Okay.
Buzz here, I'm showing 3.78 SI. 3%, no flags. Adequate, light warming fingers.
Roger, and Neil has 66%, O2, no flags, minimum cooling, and the seat pressure is 382.
Houston, roger that.
Neil has finished collecting and packing the bulk sample.
Buzz, this is Houston. Have you removed the close-up camera from the Mesa yet? Over.
Negative, thank you.
Looks like you're about a half hour slow on it. We're working on consumables, over.
All right.
Neil and Buzz, this is Houston. To clarify my last, your consumables are in good shape at this time. The 30-minute reference was with respect to the nominal timeline. Over.
Roger, I understand that.
Neil's been on the surface now slightly over an hour and 20 minutes.
Hey, don't note any abnormalities in the LEM. Quad seem to be in good shape. The primary and secondary struts are in good shape. Antennas are all in place. Yep. There's no evidence of problem underneath the LEM due to either the engine exhaust or drainage of any kind.
Roger up.
It's very surprising, the very surprising lack of penetration of all four of the foot pads. I'd say if we were to try and determine just how far below the surface they would have penetrated, you'd measure in 2 or 3 inches, wouldn't you say, Neil?
At the most, yeah. That fly strut there is probably even less than that.
take an angle, Neil.
Yep. I think you're right.
Minus Z set now. Aerial pair, we're taking it ahead. We'll take very little force of impact that we actually had.
Houston, I noticed that
Columbia, this is Houston.
Go ahead,
bud.
Okay. Can I get some close-up pictures of that, Ron?
I was saying that Houston will stop and take a photograph of something and then want to start moving again sideways. Quite a tendency to start doing it with just gradual sideways hops because you start getting momentum.
Roger.
Can you see us underneath the LEM over at the SEQ Bay, Houston?